I'd like for you to turn to two portions of Scripture. First, I would like you to turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And then when you have Romans chapter 11, put a marker there and turn to Matthew chapter 24. Romans chapter 11, put a marker there, and then turn to Matthew chapter 24. God is good. And all the time. And that's all right. Praise the Lord. I want to share with you a message that the Lord placed upon my heart, and I'm hoping that it'll really make sense to each and every one of you. On the one hand, it's a very serious message because it helps you and me to see the reality of how close we are to the end of days. But then on the other hand, it should encourage us to reach out to those that are lost, whether they are in our family or nearby friends, associates, or what have you. But I want to read first from Matthew 24, and I want us to begin reading at verse 4, and we're going to read through verse 14. And it says this in Matthew 24, verse 4. It says, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, epidemics, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then they will hand you over to be persecuted and will kill you. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will rise and will deceive many. Because iniquity will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Let's read verse 14, and then we'll go to Romans. It says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Now turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And I want us to read verse 25 and 26, and it says this, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, lest you be wise in your own estimation. For a partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will remove ungodliness from Jacob." Verse 25, one more time, it says again, "I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, lest you be wise in your own estimation, for a partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." And I want to speak with you for a few minutes this morning on the fullness of the Gentiles. The fullness of the Gentiles. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would help me to express your heart to your people this morning. I pray that it would be expressed in a way that everyone that is here at the sound of my voice would understand what your word is declaring. I pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to the reality of the day in which we live. And I pray that you would give us a burden for the lost. For, Lord, the time is getting short. Bless the preaching of your word this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. The book of Romans is Paul's letter that has been called his masterpiece. In this letter, Paul describes the reality of the life that you and I have obtained in Christ Jesus. It is a letter that describes the most clearly of all the epistles what we have obtained in Christ Jesus. He shows us that we are justified by faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. And yet the reality is that in this letter of Paul to the Romans, Paul has written a letter to a group in Rome that are primarily Gentile. However, there are still many Jews that have come to the faith. But now the reality is that fewer and fewer Jews are getting saved, and more Gentiles are coming into the church. Now, before we progress, let me explain what a Gentile is. Someone that was not born a Jew is considered a Gentile. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're from Greece, although the Greek or the Gentile is one and the same. It became known in the early church that anyone that was not born a Jew from the Commonwealth of Israel was regarded as a Gentile. And what was happening in the church world at this time is that the gospel initially was preached to the Jew. When you read in the book of Acts chapter 2, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and they began to preach the gospel there in Jerusalem and Judea, all Samaria, and ultimately the uttermost parts of the earth. Initially, the early church was primarily Jewish. But God had a plan in the early church, thank you so much, to not only make salvation available to the Jew, but ultimately the gospel would be proclaimed to the whole earth, both Jew and Gentile. Through the new covenant, God would make a way for both Jew and Gentile to come into the church of the living God. The church of the living God is comprised of both Jew and Gentile, even till this day. But the thing is that the reality is that the church is primarily Gentile, but partially Jew, if you will. And the reason why I'm saying this is the way the church began to move forward. The Jews would eventually reject Jesus as their Messiah. Most would remain unbelieving towards Jesus as the Messiah, even as it is today. Sadly, most Jews, if you meet any or have been around any, or if you know this, the majority of Jews in the world today are known as secular Jews. Most of them are atheist. They don't even believe in God. Now, notice I said most, that does not mean all. The church began to transition. It started out primarily Jewish, but then God spoke to Peter by way of a vision, and he showed him unclean beast being let down on a sheet. And three different times a voice from heaven said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "No, I've never done that. Those are unclean. I'm a Jew. Don't you know that, God?" Right? But then the Lord responded and said, "Don't call common or unclean what I have cleansed." Under the new covenant, the gospel would go forth from the Jew and impact the Gentile. And today we see the gospel going throughout the world. And what's interesting is this, is that one of the evidences that we are living in the latter days is the propagation, the promotion of the gospel, the spread of the gospel in the world today. The first scripture that we read in Matthew 24 and verse 14, it says that this gospel will be preached throughout the whole world as a witness against them. All nations will hear the gospel, and then the end will come. And what's interesting is that a part of bringing in the latter days is the spread of the gospel. And the spread of the gospel is not my responsibility alone, it's our responsibility to share with those that are around us, those that are next to us, those that are in the workplace. We must share with them the truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus has made a way for them to be saved. We must sound forth this call to Jesus Christ more today than ever. For the days are getting shorter and shorter, to where the time will come that we will not be able to share the gospel in the same way. But the Bible said in Matthew 24 that the preaching of the gospel would be proclaimed throughout all nations. And we are living in those days. But why would it be proclaimed to all nations? Excuse me. Why would it be proclaimed to all nations? The reality is that the majority of this earth is Gentile. Most of the Jews in the world today, half of them are living in Israel today. The other half are living spread out throughout the earth. We're seeing a day of what's known as the ingathering, the return of the Jews to Israel. It's also a sign of the latter days. But as they are returning to Israel, we know that the whole earth isn't made up of Israel and Jews. Amen? Thank God for our Jewish neighbors and brethren. Thank God for them. We must pray for them. We must pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We must stand with Israel. Thank God we have a president today who is standing hand in hand with Israel. If you don't like anything else he's doing, like the fact that he is standing with Israel. The former president was one of the worst in regards to relationship with Israel. But as we are standing with Israel, it's an important thing to see because that's a part of God's plan. God has established the state of Israel. And this reality is that the world, as it progresses, the focal point is going to ultimately return to the salvation of all Jews. But this verse that we just read in Romans chapter 11 is an interesting verse. In Romans 11 verse 25, Paul declares a mystery. When the New Testament describes a mystery, it was something that was hidden in the Old Testament. It was something that wasn't revealed in the Old Testament, but was now revealed in the New Covenant. It was something that the prophets didn't talk about. It wasn't something the prophets spoke on prophetically. It was something that was new in the New Covenant. It was a mystery, a secret that was now being revealed. And Paul said in verse 25, I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brethren, lest you be wise in your own estimation. For a partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. What does that mean, Pastor James? What are you trying to get at? What we're saying is this, is that in that day, Paul saw clearly, even though he himself was a believing Jew, he saw that his own brethren, the majority of them were blind, hard-hearted to the gospel. They didn't believe in Jesus as their Messiah. And yet Paul begins to show that this was something in the mind and in the plan of God that would work out for the benefit of the whole world. He would even say, can you imagine what it would be like when you have the fullness of the Jews? If their hardening and their unbelief has opened up the door for the Gentiles to come to salvation, can you imagine what it's going to be like when the Jews get saved? But in the mind and in the heart of God, some of the things that we can't even fully comprehend. The Bible says that it's a mystery, but he's showing it now. That there was a partial hardening that has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Now, let me explain this, and I hope it comes out clearly. Most of the Jews today are hardened to the gospel. It's a partial hardening. That means that there are some Jews getting saved today, thank God. And whenever a Jew gets saved, they lose, in essence, their Jewishness. Just like a Gentile loses his Gentileness, they become the church. But even as there is a partial hardening, it says it's going to be that way until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. That means that there is a day and a time When the last Gentile puts his faith in Jesus, and then that dispensation, that time that God is moving within the Gentile church will cease. And then God is going to turn his focus to saving Israel. Look what it says in verse 25. It says, I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, lest you be wise in your own estimation. For a partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And then, verse 26, so all Israel will be saved. God has a plan to save all Israel, even though most of them are in unbelief right now. Most of them are secular. When you think about the Jews in Israel today, most of them don't even believe in God, and they're Jewish. But there is coming a day when their eyes will be open to God and they will repent. And there will be a national turning to God. But before that time, God is dealing with the world. God is saving Gentiles all around the world. Most of us are Gentile. Most of the church that you see is Gentile. But there's coming a day when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. This church age that we know will one day stop. And then, when that occurs, Jesus is going to come and take the church out, and there will be the rapture of the church. And then the focal point is going to turn to Israel. Now, that does not mean that God isn't going to be in the saving business. We can read in the book of Revelation about many getting saved. But I'm here to tell you that the time to get saved is now. The time to come into Christ and into the body of Christ is now. Amen. I want to read this verse, verse 25, from a few different versions. First is from the New Living Translation. This is how the New Living Bible says it. I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud about yourselves. Now, he's talking to Gentiles. There was a time here in Rome when some were looking down on the Jews. They were saying, oh yeah, God got rid of the Jews and made them unbelievers so that I can be a believer. But Paul is saying, be careful, be careful. Don't become too wise in your own estimation, right? He's bringing it down to a right level. Anyways, it says, dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud about yourselves. Some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of Gentiles comes to Christ. Till the full number of Gentiles comes to Christ. The New International Version puts it this way. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles has come in. The New American Standard says it this way, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And then lastly, the International Standard Version says it this way, a partial hardening has come on Israel until the full number of Gentiles has come in. What that means is this, is that as the gospel is going forth and Gentiles are coming to the faith, there will come a time when that full number is reached. And when that full number of Gentiles comes into the church or comes to faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. Then at that time, God will begin to resume his focus towards Israel. Don't be surprised as the reality of the world and the focus of the world begins to turn more and more towards that area of the world. Until then, the going forth of the gospel, thank God, is sounding forth from the United States of America. God has had a plan to use America as a sending nation. But you know what's interesting is that more and more other nations are becoming sending nations, not only America anymore. In Central and South America, missionaries are coming out of those areas like never before. They're going all around the world as missionaries, many of them laying down their lives to spread the gospel. What's going on in some of these closed nations even today? Consider this. It's the reality that as the gospel enters to those closed areas, it's the times of the Gentiles becoming full. It's the reality that that fullness of the Gentiles, that full number of the Gentiles is coming in. And it's time now for you and me to share the gospel with those that are our neighbors, our co-workers, and what have you. Because the time will come that things will begin to change, and it's not going to be the same way as it is today. And so we must spread the gospel now that we can. Amen? Well, what does that mean, Pastor James? Does that mean that you're not going to be able to preach the gospel during the tribulation period? Well, I'm hoping that what the scripture says is true, that I won't be here during the tribulation. Amen? That I am a part of that body, that church body, that body of Christ that will be taken out of the earth before that time occurs. But it doesn't mean that the gospel isn't going to be spread during the tribulation period, for many, untold numbers, will come to faith during the tribulation period. What is the tribulation period, Pastor James? The tribulation period is the final week of years, the last 7 years before Jesus comes back when every eye will see him. The seven-year tribulation is a time when the Antichrist will rise to power. It's a time when a Jewish temple will be rebuilt. It's a time when there will be a covenant made between Israel for 7 years that will be broken in the middle of those 7 years. It will be a time of destruction. It will be a time of war, a time of famine, a time of much havoc. The seven-year tribulation period is the final 7 years of existence on the earth before the coming kingdom age. Before the tribulation period starts, this time of the Gentiles, this time of the full number of the Gentiles coming to Christ is occurring. And I'm saying this to say that we need to realize that the time is getting shorter and shorter, and there will be a day when that final Gentile will be called into the body of Christ, and then that dispensation will end, and another dispensation will start. This is dispensationalism. This is a dispensational theology that I'm sharing with you today. Dispensationalism is how God has dealt with the earth. In the very beginning with Adam and Eve, it was known as the dispensation of innocence. There was no sin in the earth. When Moses gave the law, came down from Mount Sinai with the law of God, it was known as the dispensation of law. When the monarchy started, you had David and Solomon, the kings. You had the dispensation of the kings and so on and so forth. But today, we're in the dispensation of grace. And as we are in the dispensation of grace, it's also characteristic of the times of the Gentiles. And we must be those that must understand that the clock is ticking. It's not going to last forever. And the time is getting shorter and shorter. That means that we should be praying for our family members that are not saved, that they will get saved soon. Amen? Those that are lost, those that are friends and acquaintances, those that are relatives, nieces and nephews, cousins, brothers, sisters, amen, great uncles and aunts and so forth. We must understand that we're living in the latter days. And as we see the spread of the gospel, and the reality of the fact that this time to share the gospel is available to us, you need to take advantage of it and tell others about Jesus. Amen? Because the time is getting shorter and shorter, and soon this dispensation will end. And so we need to be ready. Amen? We need to be ready. Not only just be ready for Jesus to come and get us, but be ready for the fact that this is all going to end. Amen? And we need to understand that there are people out there that are lost and going literally to hell. And you and me, we have the answer. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.